This is a tape recording of my grandmother's childhood.
Okay, Kyle. Being the youngest child in a family of 12 children, I'm sure that my two older sisters, your Aunt Marie and Aunt Marge, could remember much more of our past than I can. However, I will try and remember events that still remain in my memory. We were a family raised on thrift. I also lived through the Depression era. The age you live in now, Kyle, is where there is no self-denial. It's all instant gratification. My heritage is all French. My father's parents, coming from Quebec, Canada, they settled in Brest, Michigan, you know, that's right by Lake Erie, on the lake, and I have no knowledge of how they made their living, as both sets of my grandparents were dead before I was even born. My mother's parents lived in the Bowles Harbor area. My grandfather's name, and I think this, was Stephen Duval. He owned land all around Bowles Harbor, and it was just all timberland. And I think, if I'm not, you know, I've heard my mother and father tell this, that he would, you know, cut the timber and sell it, and that's how he made his living, earned his living. And when Father DeGrasse of St. Mary's Church came to Monroe, he said, "Never talk about a Frenchman, as they're all related." My father's name was Julius Raymond. Probably in Canada, it was Rameau. But when they came, when my grandparents came, they had no education. They probably couldn't read or write. And they told their names to the people at wherever they had to go to buy anything. And how it sounded is how these English people, how they could interpret it, this is how they would pronounce their names. So Rameau probably sounded like Rainbow to them. But I'm sure in Canada it would be Rameau. The French names lost a lot when they first settled in this area. I think my father had about, gosh, my dad, probably a third grade education, really. However, it's very difficult for me to understand what he did with the knowledge that he had and what he did with it. Because what he did with it, Kyle, it was not book knowledge. It was a God-given knowledge, a talent. And God just gave these people this talent, and after giving it to them, they really knew what to do with it. He made a success of his life. He started out as a fisherman in Brest. And my older brothers and sisters were born there. But when I came along, they had moved to Monroe. They had moved to Monroe and settled in Monroe. My father was what would be called a commercial fisherman. He earned his living that way. Then he branched off into doing carpenter work. And I've seen people come to our house at night, oh, many, many times. And my dad would sit at the kitchen table and draw a plan for a house. It was as simple as all that. And he could tell them right then almost how much that house was going to cost him. And when he would build a house, he would put the cement work in, you know. He would put the roof. He just did everything. And it always amazed me how he could learn, how he could do that without any formal education. He had no book knowledge at all. So then my father did a lot of trapping. He would go and set these traps, and then, you know, and I don't know how, leave them in for 2-3 days, I guess. Then they'd go out and bring them home, and in our kitchen, and he would skin these muskrats, and my mother would clean the meat, and they would sell it. They would sell the meat. They had big muskrat dinners, you know, big muskrat dinners. and they would sell the meat, and my father would have a form, and he would put the rats on this form and hang them up in the barn. And then in the spring, once a year, a fur man would come around, come to town, and this fur man would buy all these rats, and that's how they got their muskrat coats, you know, and it made a lot of living for my dad, too. I can also remember my father working in at the France Stone Quarry, and I guess that's still here, see that quarry? Mm-hmm. And that's on the Pleasants Road. And he fell, I don't know how many feet. And they brought him home, and he was in the house for weeks and weeks. And, you know, he had broken bones, and that was really something to remember. And my aunts and uncles, my father had five brothers and two sisters. And my mother had six brothers and one sister. And we were a real close family, real close. New Year's was our big day. It was a big day. Christmas was a day, but it wasn't as big. The French people celebrated New Year's. I can remember my parents, my mother would set a table in the dining room, and it would be there all week long between Christmas and New Year's. And all the cousins, you know, and my uncles and my aunts, and we went around to all these different houses. And when they would come to our house, myself and some of my cousins my age, we'd hide in underneath the bed because all my uncles had mustaches. And all they would do was kiss each other, you know, and they'd put their arms around each other, oh, you know, and they'd have just such a big time. And we just, the kids just, we didn't like that. So we'd hide underneath the beds. But we had a real happy home. And I had a real, real happy home. There was no money. When I say no money, no money. I can remember my dad telling how he worked for $1 a day. And there was no money. But my father in the fall, I can remember him, and I can remember this, that he would make dandelion wine. He would make apricot brandy and grape wine, and but I never saw him out of line. Never did I see my father out of line, but there was wine in the house all the time. And they would drink it, he would drink it with the meals, you know, but never offered any of his kids any wine. No, that was for him, you know. So, and my cousins, they were really a real close family. They would have their form of enjoyment and entertainment was every Saturday night they would go, and the French people stayed together. They really stayed together. And they located in the east part of the town, and the German people was in the west part of the town. I don't know where the Irish, I guess, was somewhere around St. John's, but St. John's Church? No, I can't remember, but I remember that we were right down, you know, in the east part of the town until then the Italian people came, so then there was French-Italian down there. But during Lent, we would there was no card play. I wanted to tell you this. Their form of entertainment was every Saturday night. They would go to different houses and roll the carpet up, and they would square dance all night long. My father called, and they would square dance all night long. Just come home in time to get straightened around and go to church. And I had one outfit, and that was to go to church on Sundays. And you kept that on all day because you only wore it once a week. But you were so careful with it that you just didn't go playing around in that outfit. And we'd go to Vespers what was called Vespers on Sunday afternoon. Well, it's like we would go and you would say prayers, you know what I mean? Say the rosary. And they had the Blessed Sacrament exposed, and it was called Vespers. And this was our Sunday. This is all you did on Sunday. Then you took that outfit off at night and you put it away. And you put it out the next Sunday. And that lasted you all winter long. From the fall until the spring, that's what you wore. So now when I see everything, you know, gosh, when you see what the kids have nowadays and what we were, there was no money. I begged and begged and begged when I was 11 years old for a piano. And I will say this, there wasn't any money for material things, but my dad must have had a lot of culture in his background, because there was money for me. He bought a piano when I was 11. I took piano lessons, and when I was 13, I was playing organ at St. Mary's Church. And there was money for me piano lessons. There was money for me organ lessons. And I also took trumpet and violin. And in those days, that was unheard of. And my brother, this was unheard of. My brother took drum lessons, and he took a streetcar to Detroit and studied with a drummer in the pit of one of the great big theaters in Detroit. And that is an event, really, you know, because, well, there just wasn't anything. We had no money. And no playing cards during Lent. And the card playing is really square dancing, and card playing was all these people had. And they'd play cards every Sunday. Somebody would come over, and they'd play euchre. And they played cutthroat euchre. What I mean, it was for blood. I'm going to win, and that's it. But during Lent, all that was put away. There was no square dancing. There was no card playing. And really, my parents were they were devout Catholics. They were the true devout Catholics. But it's so different, you know. And we had nothing at Christmas time. Maybe we'd get an orange in our stocking. And that was a big delicacy, an orange, because you just didn't get any. And if you were sick, my dad would give us anything when we were sick. But we were too sick to enjoy it. And as soon as we got well, then that all was ended. It was just over with, you know. It just was over with. And like to go back to Lent, there was the rosary we said every night. We would say the rosary. In front of, we had a great big round stove. And it had all little isinglasses in. And my father burned coke. And we would kneel. My father would kneel first, and my mother. And whoever kids were home, you know, they would kneel in back. And my father said the rosary in French, and my mother would answer in French. But the kids would answer in English. And some of the words in French that my father said would sound funny. We'd start to laugh and giggle. And all my dad had to do was turn around and look at us. And boy, we straightened up. And then there were nights that he never stopped praying. He would pray and pray, you know. He just went on. And we would get fidgety. We just knelt right there. And that was it. His word was law. So it really was really something. I want to tell you just one thing, too, Kyle, while I'm thinking about it. My brother and my mother and father, not, I wasn't, because I don't think I was born then. And all the rest of the older kids, you know, they had to walk. We lived a mile and a quarter from St. Mary's Church. And I walked to school. Never knew, and my father never owned a car. We never knew what it was to do anything else. So they were going to church on Sunday, and my brother was 15 years old, and he was as tall as my father. And he thought he was going to be late. So he went, he said, "I'll meet you in church," and he ran on ahead. And that's when they had the old bridge on Monroe Street, and streetcars. And he hopped the streetcar and swung around, and it crushed him in between the streetcar and the cement abutment. And my mother and dad, it had already happened. And when they came, they knew that there was some big excitement going on, you know, and here it was my brother. So they brought him home. There was no hospital in Monroe or anything.
Was he dead right there? Or?
No, he wasn't dead. And they got, just to show you the, how much everything has progressed, they had to have a doctor and a nurse come from Detroit. And they came on the train. And the train depot was on East Chester Street. And they stayed at my parents' home. And they operated on my brother in our what was our parlor, you know. And the doctor and the nurse stayed at neighbor's house for 2 days. My brother died, but they stayed, and they worked with him all the time. And the neighbors had to keep boiling water all the time so they could stir, which we didn't. There was nothing, you know, no money at all, but we had food. My father, he was the best provider. He, in our attic in the fall, they would put sugar and we had no basement, you know, but we had an outdoors what was called a cellar, with a big trap door that would open, you know, and they would have cabbage and carrots and potatoes and just everything down there. We had, you know, even though we always had plenty of food. And on Sundays, my mother always had chicken and dumplings. And that, we waited for Sundays because that was the delicacy. You didn't have that during the week. Like now, you have anything you want any day of the week, any given hour of the time. During the day, you can have what you want. But when I was raised, it was not like that. And my mother made bread. She did every baking, all the baking. There wasn't anything that was bought that she could make. And I'll never forget, in the grocery stores in those days, they would come around and knock at your door in the morning and take your order. And then they would go back to the store and bring it back the same morning. That's how they would take your grocery order. There was no telephone, you know. So that's how they had to do it. And I'll never forget when we got a nice brand new kitchen stove, and it had the nickel plating on each side. Well, my brother and I would get up in the morning and dress. He was 8 years older than I was, and he had to take care of me to walk to school. We walked a mile and a quarter, you know, regardless of what the weather was. If it was, snow was up to your knees, you still walked and you just went to school. And he had to take care of me. And you know how much an 8-year-old wanted to take care of, you know. I mean, 8 years older than I would want to take care of me, probably. Probably he was 14 and I was what? Yeah, well, something like that. So we would dress up. We would dress. This would be our mirror. We would dress in front of that. He on one side and me on the other, you know. And we get up in the cold. Our upstairs bedrooms was really cold. And my father, when he, being a carpenter like that, when they had more children, he would just add on a home, a room. He would keep on adding rooms until when I left, got married and left home, my goodness. He turned the house where we lived, he turned it into an apartment house because there was so many rooms, you know, because of all the kids.
You didn't even know some of your sisters.
I didn't know four of my older brothers.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know five of my, I only knew one brother. There were six boys and six girls, and I knew one boy.
But you only seen one of your sisters about three times your whole life.
The older sister of 12, my mm-hmm. older sister, was gone, married and gone, and I was just a little one. You know, just...
Was she 30 when you were born?
Well, my mother was 45 when I was born. So, and she, my mother would tell my older sisters how to make bread when she would have a child at home, then she would tell them how little ones how to cook, you know, because that's how they did. And I always regretted that. Now my older sisters could talk French and understand it, but when I came along, my parents were tired. They were old. I never knew a young mother or father. Never. So, you know, I owe a lot to my, like, Aunt Marge and Aunt Marie. They did an awful lot for me. But you have a lot to laugh at, but you do have a lot to cry at, too. My parents were both born in 1879, and they died in 1943. My father died on a Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, and my mother died the following Tuesday at 8:30. And they were both buried together on the following Friday in 1943. So you have a lot, you know, to laugh with and about, but you do have sadness too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Kyle, there's just a few remaining minutes, so I'm just going to kind of tell how, you know, I started out as a musician, and I taught piano, and I played in a large dance band, and then I went into the dancing business. Some people in Dundee that I, Mr. and Mrs. Ralston, and I had their children in music lessons. And they said, Peg, why don't you come? And my niece, Mary Ann Taburin, was a dancer. And I had worked with her, you know, a lot, like I work with the kids now. They said, why don't you come to Dundee? And first thing you know, it was all set up for me. I didn't have to turn my hand to nothing. And I was in Dundee for 13 years, and in Milan for 14 years, Tecumseh for 8 years, and all told, I've been in business 32 years. And that's continuous business, you know, and nobody bossing me or telling me what to do, you know, and it's been very rewarding, really. I still get up every morning, and I do not mind to go to work. I enjoy going to work, and that's saying a lot after you've been with it 32 years. So, Kyle, I hope this is all right. I hope that I'm sure that I can't remember what, you know, my mm-hmm. sisters. Like, there was just one thing I did forget. My father, when he was a fisherman in Brest, he said they would put the seines in at night, you know, these fish, big fishing nets, and then they would come home, and they'd have to walk through woods, and I don't know they call the light lugaloo, or if that's a French word, or I don't know what it is, but I can always remember my father saying, and this light would jump from the treetops, keep on following them and jumping on the treetops. And my father was not one to imagine things, you know. He was a right down to earth man. So you just wonder what that was. And they never, never did find out what that was.
They called it a lugaloo?
A lugaloo. I'm sure that that's, you know, now maybe somebody can interpret that, but that was what they, mm-hmm. you know, I can remember my dad saying lugaloo. Mm-hmm. So, Kyle, good luck on this. Kyle, I know this might be, you know, kind of jumping around, but I did want to mention this, the Depression. And when the banks closed, I took my father to what was Dancer's Bank, where the Bank and Trust now, Monroe Bank and Trust, downtown. And he had money in the bank. And we sat in the car. And we wondered if we should, you know, he wondered if he should go in and draw his money out. And we talked and talked. And finally, he decided, he said, no, I guess I'll leave it in, because if I take it out, I'll break the interest. And in maybe a week, the bank's closed. And my dad, that what was left, you get very, very small percentage of your money, you know, and I don't know. I can't remember, you know, what banks that even came through. Some bank in Detroit, I guess, paid a small percentage of interest or something. But anyway, my father would put his head down on the table and he would cry, because he earned his, you know, his money was hard earned. It wasn't nothing like like nowadays. I mean, his was manual labor. And also my sister Marie was married to, what was his name? I can't remember his name. Sid Cowles. And he was a big stockbroker in Detroit. And he was completely wiped out. Completely wiped out. They moved to Canada and they had nothing to go on. Of course, he came back. But it took a long, long time. The people nowadays, they just don't know what it is to do without. They have, everything is there, and they see that they get everything. And I hope they never, we went without. My brother and his family moved in with my parents during the Depression, and it was not easy. We all had to help each other out, for which we really did. So there, I guess that's it, Kyle.